2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Let these words be digested within your heart. You know, don't just read them, but take them in. Take these words into your very heart and mind. Every word God meant, there's a reason for it for being there. And you need every word within your heart, the Bible teaches us. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I cannot even imagine what God has for me. I have not even heard about it. I have not even seen it with my eye. All that I've seen cannot stand up to what God says in his word he has prepared for me if I love him. Amen? But here's where the catch comes in. I don't know if I love him or not. How many have ever wondered? Be honest now. How many have ever wondered if you love God or not? Yep. I have counseled with people now for 15 years. Thousands of people. I've sat in various places and talked and listened. And many, many, many hundreds of times I've heard that. I don't know if I want to be a Christian. I don't know if I'm sincere enough. I doubt myself. I don't know if I really love God enough. All the promises in the Word are void to us if we doubt our love for God. In our own mind, we void them out. God don't void them out. We void them out. Because we think, I'm not sincere. So, yeah, God's great, and God wants to bless, and God has a lot of great things that he wants to do. But where Satan attacks us, it's the bottom line. Our self-confidence, what we think about ourselves. This is his great scheme. And no matter how much I know the word, but I remember a time that I finished reading the Bible through my 20th time. I remember. I used to count it. I used to be proud of that. 20 times reading from generations of revelations. Every word. And even go to the Greek interlinears and read all of that in the Hebrews and go to different translations. And man, you talk about the word, it was saturated within my mind. But I remember on the 20th anniversary, I guess you'd call it that, I stood and I remember doubting if I was sincere or not. Awesome. Frightening. Do I really mean it? And I was living it every day. All kinds of works. But the devil had deceived me to make me wonder if I loved God enough for all that I knew about the word to apply to my life. All the 20 times that I absorbed the word and all the promises that was in my mind, the devil was able to snatch away from me because he attacked me right at the very bottom and in the very heart, I should say, of my fear. But maybe I'm not what I should be. I know God is. Attack your self-confidence. Has he ever done that to you, Jeff? You know God's great, don't you? God can do anything, can't he? But we wonder about ourselves, right? Right, Mike? And that's what we got to deal with. The Bible says here that them that love him. I like the word that they use in the Greek here. I'm glad that God didn't say them that phileris him. If I can say that word right. I'm glad they brought me some water, man. I get dry. Do you know if God would have said that in the Bible, that would have frightened me. Because that means I would have to have an affectionate love for him, that I should feel like I love him enough. If God's promises were contingent on me feeling like I love him enough, it'd frighten me. But he didn't use that word. He used the word agape. Oh, I'm glad he used that word. Because you know what that means? It's the love that I decide in my mind. It's the love that God uses and says, hey, love your wife. Oh, I've talked to husbands a lot of times. They say, Mike, I don't know if I love my wife anymore or not. I don't know if I love my husband anymore or not, though. I don't know if I can work this thing or not. I don't know if I love him or not. The Bible doesn't say find out if you love him or not. It says love him. It's a decision within my will. It's the kind of love he's talking about here. It's a valve that I turn on, like you turn on the water that comes into your house. There's no doubt there's water in the line. He said, but I don't know. Yes, all you got to do is turn it on. You decide. You decide that you love God. You commit your will to that. And you do. God counts it. That's how you get saved. How many has ever been good enough to be saved? You're saved by faith. Right? I commit my will to God. And right then, God accounts that salvation that's going to happen when I am changed. He counts it right then to me in faith. See? Through Christ. And we can, in faith, decide that we love God, and God accounts that, he imputes that as loving him. Now, we got that settled? We can get going with it, and then we can get started in the sermon, right? But see, it says here that eye have not seen, or ear have not heard. We have not even entered in our mind what God has for them that love him. How many love God? Okay, it settles that. We love God, right? It goes on. That God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you might be able to be filled with the fullness of God. And I like that. That. It tells us that we need to comprehend so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. That's what we're doing tonight. We're trying to comprehend something, right? If we will open our minds up and comprehend what God's trying to teach us, if we will learn what God has to say, then we can be filled with his fullness. Because you see, we have a wrong perspective of life. We have a wrong perception. We have a wrong image of things. We have a wrong image of ourselves. We have a wrong image of people, and we have a wrong image of God many times. And what it does, it keeps us from committing ourselves totally to what God has. It keeps us from letting him fill us with himself completely, with all that he has, because our view is distorted. I listen to people every day, and the views are distorted. My own view is distorted many times. We have been distorted by life. But if we will listen and learn and seek the truth, God will reveal it. We will comprehend it. And when we do comprehend it, we will yield ourselves. We will yield ourselves to God. And God will do the work. Amen? He goes on to say, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to his power that worketh within us. Not our own power. But to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages. God is able. Amen? In John 14:12, Jesus said something that means something to me now. He said this. He says, you will do the works that I have done also, and you will do greater works. Here I've read three scriptures that talk about the great things God wants to do. That he can do beyond our imagination. That you can be great in Christ. You can be a dynamic person in Christ. And the Bible says that they that follow him will be able to do the works that he's done. And I'm not, you know, just talking about miracles that makes hands grow out. That'd be great too. I wish we could do that tonight. I wish some of you that are sick could be healed tonight. Maybe you could, might be, but 90% of the time it doesn't happen. Sometimes it does. I imagine Ann would like to be healed tonight, wouldn't you? We prayed for you. It didn't happen, did it? Christ would have been here. He probably would have healed her. Amen? It happens sometimes. I was healed of a double hernia. Proven, documented, heart trouble. Healed completely, 100%, without any medication. It happens, but it don't happen often enough. But there's other kinds of miracles, too. I would like to do what Christ did when he came upon the woman that had a poor attitude towards herself at the well. I would like to be able to do today what he did with her. A woman that was living in sin and bondage and prison to herself. A woman that was so down on herself she had no self-respect. Dead end in life. And Christ was there. And he is able to look right in past all that and see the real person. He is able to see beyond all her problems, all her faults. He's able to look right down into her and see who she was. Have you ever done that to someone before? Have you been able to look into a person's life, look beyond all that superficial image and junk, look right down into their eyes and see who they are? And when you see the beauty in a person, and they see that you see the beauty in them, you know what happens? Something takes place inside. They can see it. They can see in your eyes if you really believe in them. They can see in your eyes if you really see something. You can look in a person's eyes, and if you really, really have that touch of God, and you look right on past all the junk and see the heart, see Christ's fingerprint there. He created that person. His fingerprint is on that person's life, on that person's spirit. You see the image of Christ within, imprisoned within the heart, screaming to be freed. And they recognize it in your eyes. Something starts to happen. And some special words are spoken. Like he spoke to the woman at the well. And a whole life is changed. Not only a life, but a family. Amen? A family. And relatives and a city. Because someone was really cared. And I believe we can do those works. How about you? You know, more than ever before, there's a need for these works. The Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness. And the word wickedness means hurtfulness. There's hurt all around us. There's bondage all around us. There's hearts that are broken. There's lives that are scarred. Every life that I know of is scarred. Insecurities. Little aces in a hole, I call them, Satan has. You ever heard a guy say, I got an ace in a hole? Satan has many aces in a hole. Your insecurities. Anytime he wants you to fall, all he's got to do is pull the string and the puppet starts to move. Amen? How many know that? How many feel that way? We can be so fired up to serve God. We can read that word and be so committed. And old Satan says, I'll let you go for a little while. I'll let you get all these dreams going and you get all fired up and you tell everybody how much you love God. Go ahead and get out there and testify. And when you've really got it set up, everybody's got their eye on you, I'm going to pull your little string in a puppet. And as a shepherd, my heart bleeds when I see some of you stand up and start to have some victory in your life. You're walking down that pathway, and I'm so proud of you. You're doing things right. You're getting somewhere, and then all of a sudden, you get afraid, and you fall. And you fall back, and you wait, and you hide, and you get discouraged, and my heart bleeds. No, don't. Please don't. It's not going to overwhelm you. When it gets tough, when the temptation gets tough, you just don't know what you're going to do. What's going to happen? This temptation will come out there and bend your arm, make you do something wrong? No. It's just a feeling. Prayer rapture, it's just a feeling. I was talking to Jeff the other day, and he said, you know, sometimes I just don't feel God. Right, Jeff? How many's ever experienced that? Let me see your hands. Because you have to see all these people. I don't feel God. God's always there. If you don't feel something, that's a feeling. Right? If you don't feel something, that's a feeling. If you don't have an emotion, it's a non-emotion. It's all emotion. It's all relative. You know, it's just an illusion. Stand on the word, right? Persist through. And we're going to have victory. You'll have victory. And you'll be everything God created you to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Does anyone want to add anything to what I've said tonight? I've really received it. Let me see your hands. Keep them up. Okay. Just want to see. Okay. Praise God. I appreciate you doing that. Isn't it neat when someone can stand up front and ask you to raise your hand to do it? I don't take that for granted. It's all volunteer, but it's neat when people are submissive to the things of God. Amen? Thought I'd throw that in. Anybody want to add anything? It goes right along with it. How about a pretty good procrastinator? Should we have a contest? When's the best time to do something? Now. Yesterday, right? Now is the best time. Amen. Praise God. Yes, brother.